Concerns about the poor quality of education throughout Latin America have been mounting for decades. Millions of children lack even the basics of how to read and write. This summer, the governments of Peru, Chile, and Argentina have declared their public schools to be in a state of emergency. And now there's talk that long-term solutions will require a common strategy throughout Latin America. NPR's Claudio Sanchez traveled to the Dominican Republic to examine how the nation has dealt with its own education crisis.
Catching a cab on El Malecón, the breezy beachfront hotel strip in the capital city of Santo Domingo, is a cinch. Getting to El Capotillo, just 10 minutes away, is not. Are you crazy, says one cab driver. Don't you know El Capotillo means no man's land? Not even the police dare venture there after sundown, he says, grimacing. But it's there, in El Capotillo, the poorest section of Santo Domingo, where you'll find one of the city's top public schools, El Politécnico Santana. Experts here say it's a model school that must be replicated if the Dominican Republic and Latin America as a whole are to put an end to widespread poverty and ignorance. This is the issue that's brought leading education researchers to Santo Domingo. Politécnico Santana is housed in a cluster of two-story buildings surrounded by a 10-foot wall painted bright yellow. Heavy rains have dislodged big slabs of sidewalk leading up to the school. The entrance is cluttered with vendors selling fruit and chunks of sugar candy. Children hover like bees. The school's black steel gate opens into a lush garden patio and open-air corridors. Off in the distance, teachers let kids play dodgeball to burn off the sugar.
Yo soy Gladys Jacobo, subdirectora.
The school's academic dean is Gladys Jacobo, a cheerful woman in her early 70s with thick glasses and short hair. She's one of several laicas, Catholic lay workers, who help run the school. It's unheard of in the U.S., but the Catholic Church and the government in this country co-manage some public schools, especially in poor neighborhoods. This year, says Jacobo, Politécnico Santana is filled beyond capacity. 1,700 students, elementary through high school age. There's no room for all of them, so half the students attend during the day, half at night. Students get a basic, no-frills education, but they leave with entry-level job skills in computers, electronics, business, and the arts. Jacobo says this is the only public school in the Dominican Republic with a focus on visual arts and music. We stopped to visit a class on the second floor. About 30 teenagers in light blue starched shirts and dark slacks or skirts snapped to attention. They seem well behaved. Disrespecting a teacher or any adult here can get you expelled. School is serious business, says a 15-year-old named Yovali. A good school doesn't produce robots, he says. It helps shape human beings with character, moral values, and ethics. Social responsibility, that's what this school teaches us, says a second boy. Asunción Molina, a master teacher here, says some children arrive better prepared for school than others. So teachers have to group them by ability, slow, average, and advanced. This, of course, is frowned upon in U.S. schools, but Molina says it keeps kids from getting frustrated. No one here is stigmatized, she insists. There are few fights, no drugs or weapons, even though the neighborhood has the second highest crime rate in Santo Domingo, mostly drug-related. Listening to Molina and Jacobo describe this impoverished neighborhood and the poor children they serve is like listening to inner-city teachers in the U.S. who work with the same kinds of kids. And yet, for all the problems El Politécnico Santana faces, this school is a jewel, says Leo Valerón. An affable man who speaks passionately about his country. Valerón is an educational psychologist by training and head of educational assessment in the Dominican Republic. He agreed to meet at El Politécnico Santana because he says this is where the seeds of change are taking root, where young people are growing up with a more hopeful vision of the country. Valerón offers me a ride back to the hotel and a brief history of school reform in the Dominican Republic, beginning with what he calls the democratization of public education in the early 1990s. Everybody got involved, politicians of the left, the right, the military, parents, all committed to improving public schools. That was the easy part, says Valerón. doing it has been difficult. Baleirón says the worst public schools aren't run by educators. They're run by political party bosses, wielding power the way party bosses in Chicago or New York once did. Here, politicians often appoint principals and sell teaching positions to the highest bidder. 500,000 children in the Dominican Republic, meanwhile, don't attend school. Of those that do, few make it to sixth grade. That's what triggered the school reform movement and mobilized parents. Baleirón and researchers with an organization known as PREAL, a think tank committed to the revitalization of education in Latin America, have requested a meeting with parents from Santo Domingo. The parents speak bluntly.
Cada padre que tenga en su plantel una directora que trabaje hombro con hombro con su sociedad de padres son muchas las cosas.
Francisco Cureña, a tall, burly man and father of three, says, "We've proven that when parents and teachers work together, children make gigantic strides." A man with a cane stands up to complain about school funding. He says his name is Manuel Martinez.
Creo que no voy a hablar nada subversivo, sino en defensa de los niños.
I'm not here to say anything subversive, he says. I'm here to speak in defense of children. Another parent raises his hand. I pay the telephone bill at my school, he says. That's how committed I am. Other parents chime in. Some claim they've even raised money to help pay for university courses for teachers who don't know the subject they teach, math, history, or science. Researchers say parents are crucial to school reform, but dramatic institutional changes require that governments lead the way. Patricia Arregui, a prominent researcher based in Lima, Peru, says government officials, for example, must begin collecting good, accurate, reliable data with which to gauge students' progress.
Which is why we have gathered together these days here to think as a group on what decisions and improvements need to be made to further strengthen assessment systems in Latin America. But there is also a big risk.
Embarrassing data can have grave political consequences, says Arregui. That's probably why most Latin American countries choose not to participate in international tests, and those that do often refuse to release their scores. Most experts agree school reform in Latin America has to be gradual. As some point out, if school reform in the U.S. has been such a struggle, imagine how much tougher it is for underdeveloped countries as they begin to move towards more democratic and accountable forms of government. Claudio Sanchez, NPR News.